It's almost Christmas. It's December. So what is a bird's favorite Christmas story? The Finch Who Stole Christmas. What do you call a shark that delivers toys at Christmas? Santa Jaws. One night, a Viking named Rudolph the Red was looking out the window when he said, "It's going to rain." And his wife said to him, "How do you know?" And he says, "Because Rudolph the Red knows rain, dear." Today we're going to go through something that we found in the Faith Weaver Now curriculum. And as we talk about Christmas or Advent, we're going to look at different aspects of the Christmas story as we move closer to Christmas. Jesus' birth, life, and death were foretold by the prophets long ago, way before he came to earth. One of those prophets that spoke of Jesus coming was Jeremiah. Jeremiah was a prophet, and that means that he spoke for God. And he gave the people of God a prophecy in Jeremiah 33:14-16. It says, "The day will come, says the Lord, when I will do for Israel and Judah all the good things I have promised them. In those days and at that time, I will raise up a righteous descendant from King David's line. He will do what is just and right throughout the land. In that day, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this will be its name: The Lord is our righteousness." Now, this passage was written nearly 600 years before Jesus was born. The northern kingdom of Israel had fallen to the Assyrians, who had in turn fallen to the Babylonians. Jeremiah also saw the southern kingdom of Judah fall to the Babylonians, concluding with the destruction of Jerusalem. Yet despite all of these things going on around him, despite all of the destruction and the hopelessness that people were feeling, Jeremiah gives a passage and gives the people hope. He utters here in this passage the most important message from him about the coming Messiah, that the king would be a descendant of David, but he would rule with more wisdom, justice, and righteousness than any other king had ever done. The coming Messiah would not only rescue his people from their oppressors, but he would also reunite the kingdoms of Israel and Judah, which had been divided since the death of Solomon more than 300 years before Jeremiah speaks this prophecy. And this message that he gives refers to a promise that God made to Jerusalem that he would send a Messiah. And of course, we know the Messiah to be God. One thing that the promise did not include was a timeline. God's people had to wait for the coming Messiah to come. It took more than 500 years from the time that Jeremiah spoke this prophecy for it to come true. My first question for you this day is, think of something that happened 500 years ago. Got something in your mind? Something that happened 500 years ago? Can you think of anything? Before your time, huh? We have, of course, Martin Luther's Reformation. We celebrated the 500-year anniversary there. And I did a little research about what it would be like to live in the 15th or 16th century. And it was very difficult, especially if you were not of noble birth or of wealth. Of course, storing food, you had to use salt or pickling because there was no refrigeration. And most countries were pretty isolated from one another because, of course, you didn't have trains, planes, and automobiles to get places. So they were pretty isolated. The isolation meant that each society could only develop and grow within itself, as opposed to the kind of global collaboration that we have today, where different cultures are introduced to other cultures and we have this melting pot. It was during this time, about 500 years ago, that the regional powerhouses, such as England, the Ottoman Empire, and the Mongols, began to expand their local borders and interact with neighboring nations. That's when the new practices and the new foods and the new cultural ideas kind of started to spread a little bit. Also in 1519, Cortes sailed for Mexico from Cuba. Now that we've thought about something in the past, think of something that's going to happen 500 years from today. Any guesses? Land on Pluto. The dog or the... whichever, the dog or the planet. All right. There are scientists who, for some reason, they get paid to come up with these ideas of what's going to happen in the future with the planet. So here's some interesting things that are going to happen, supposedly. In 50,000 years from now, Niagara Falls will have eroded away the remaining part of Lake Erie, and so it will cease to exist. 50,000 years from now, a leap second will be needed to add, will need to be added to every day due to lunar tides decelerating the Earth's rotation. 100,000 years from now, the proper motion of the stars through the Milky Way will render most constellations unrecognizable. 250,000 years from now, the youngest volcano of the Hawaiian Islands will rise above the surface. 500,000 years from now, the rugged terrain of the Badlands of South Dakota will have eroded away completely. 50 to 60 million years from now, so you're really hedging your bets here, the Canadian Rockies will erode to a plain. 80 million years from now, the Big Island of Hawaii will be the last to sink below the surface of the ocean, while a more recently formed chain of new Hawaiian islands will have emerged in their place. And 180 million years from now, a day on Earth will be 1 hour longer than it is today due to the slowing of the Earth's rotation. So if any of you are around to see these, let me know if they come true. Of course, there's no danger in making these predictions, right? Because no one's going to be around to say, oh, you were wrong or oh, you were right. But still, someone took the time to figure some of these things out. Jeremiah could have been, someone could have said the same thing to Jeremiah, like, yeah, right. This is so far in the future. How can you possibly make a prophecy that is going to come true 500 years from now? Can you think of a promise that you could make today that would be worthwhile in 500 years? What's a promise that you could make today that would be worthwhile in 500 years? Jesus will return. Yes. Okay? When it's all said and done, what in your life right now is still going to matter 500 years down the road? It's going to be your relationship with God that matters. Jesus fulfilled God's promise that Jeremiah said 500 years before. And God is so much greater than we are, and his promises show us that. Seeing and understanding how God keeps his promises helps us trust in him, even when things happen that we don't understand. Matthew 1:22-23 says, all of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. God promised to send a Messiah to save us, and Jesus fulfilled God's promise when he came to earth. And that scripture tells us that what happened, what Jeremiah said 500 years before, took place when Jesus was born on earth. Promise that he gives when Jesus is born on earth is that God will always be with us. And the promise that he gives when Jesus leaves the earth is Jesus is coming again. God's love is the reason why he sent Jesus to earth in the first place. God knew that it was only through Jesus that we could be with God. And when we recognize the fact that when God makes promises, he keeps them. And not only does he keep them, he gives us incredible blessings based on those promises. Think about a time that you made and kept a promise. You really do this. You don't have to say it out loud. I think there's a blank on your form if you want to write it on your form. But what is a promise that you've made that you've kept? When we're all honest and we keep our promises to one another, we feel closer to our friends, don't we? When we can honor them and keep them. We know that we can trust them to do what they say and to not disappoint us. And they know the same about us. That's how God wants us to trust Him. God wants us to read the Bible and study Scripture and see all the ways He has kept His promises to His people, and that Jesus fulfilled God's promise to us. What is one promise of God that has impacted your life? And the second question is similar. What is one promise of God that you need to remember right now, given your current situation? God's promises cannot be broken. He is going to honor them regardless of our circumstances. His promises are not revoked even when we do bad things. If we look at the beginning of Matthew, if we look at the genealogy of Jesus, we would see something remarkable there. The genealogy contains a woman who sleeps with her father-in-law, Tamar. It includes a prostitute, Rahab. It includes evil kings. It includes a good man and a good king. But it also includes a murderer and a Baal worshiper, Joram, an idolater and defiler of God, Manasseh, a foolish king, Hezekiah, and a leper who disobeyed God directly, Uzziah. Even when these men and women in Jesus' line disobeyed God, God still kept His promise to bring the Messiah in David's line. God is bigger than our circumstances, and God's promises will be fulfilled. One of the promises that means a lot to me is that God will never leave us. Even when we don't feel His presence near us, we know that He is still with us. Even when we don't understand how He can help our current situation, we know that He can and that He's with us. What situation are you facing right now that you need to turn over that worry to God? Because God is bigger than anything that we're dealing with. So hold on to those promises that you wrote down on your paper, because those promises will be fulfilled. The greatest promise ever made was that Jesus would come to earth and pay the price for our sins. And God made that happen in spite of all of the humans who tried to stop it. He now makes the next promise to us, that those who believe in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. He promises that. So no matter what happens, no matter how the winds of your life may blow, hold on to the promise that God will never leave you, He will never forsake you, and that He loves you.
You've been listening to Pastor Kevin Daniels at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to local, national, and international missions, and they help to keep these podcasts free. If you'd like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our webpage at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the donate button. Or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111, Hayes, Kansas, 67601. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our webpage and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.